Well, if you have your Bibles today, please turn with us to John chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8. Those two spots, St. John, book of John chapter 7, and also will be in Romans chapter 8. You know, one of the cutest things to watch, and I love it when my daughter and Dustin, my son-in-law, and my sweet Juniper's here. One of the cutest things to watch as a grandfather is my little Juniper, whenever we watch her, trying to avoid going to Sleepy Town with Mr. Sandman. And she'll try the hardest to try to stay awake. And whether it's either it's a burst of second wind that she gets, or wanting to play another game of hide and seek to try to stay awake one more time, or the gotcha game. And don't even try to dare to get her in a position of being comfortable and cozy. She's all the wiser to those desperate attempts people try while trying to trick her into becoming sleepy. But the one thing she does feel at ease with is her bottle, filled with the essence of moo, or many of you know is 2% low-fat milk. But after she settles down in her Nana's lap with her bottle, and it seems like that's the only thing that can lure her to sleepy time, and trying to get that final drink to soothe her tummy so she can nod off to go to sleep. Kind of like the boy who was sent to bed by his father, and minutes later the father hears from the back room, "Dad." Father replies, "What?" "I'm thirsty. Can you please bring me a drink of water?" I'm sure many of you may have heard that before. Father replies, "No, you had your chance, last chance, lights out, go to bed." 5 minutes later goes by, "Dad." Father replies with an irritated, "What?" "I'm thirsty. Can I have a drink of water?" Father replies, "No, I told you no, and if you ask me again, I'm going to have to spank you." 5 minutes later passes by, "Dad." Father shouts back, "What?" Little boy says, "When you come in to spank me, can you please bring me a drink of water?" Sometimes water or something to drink at night, the water mainly is something, the only thing that satisfies, regardless of the cost that it may cost you. Well, back in 1763 on the Mississippi River, there was a town that was founded and established by French settlers. And they called it the Little Gulf. And the reason they called it the Little Gulf was because it was known as the little sister of the Big Gulf, which was then known as New Orleans. And it became a very prosperous and a very prominent city. And it was located about 32 miles northeast of Natchez, Mississippi, on the Mississippi River. And then sometime later, a few years later, around the year 1798, a man by the name of Thomas Calvert, he purchased the city. And he had a dear friend and mentor in his life that meant a lot to him, that made an impact in his life, that he wanted to honor him. So he renamed the city in 1828, which I suppose if you buy a city, you can call it whatever you want. But he renamed the city from Little Gulf to Rodney, Mississippi. Because the man's name that was such a great mentor in his life was named Judge Thomas Rodney. So it became known as Rodney, Mississippi. And it became a very prosperous city in America. Matter of fact, by the mid-1800s, it had discovered the industry of cotton. And that was very important during that time. And Rodney, Mississippi was responsible for bringing much of the agricultural prosperity to the South. It all started there. Rodney, Mississippi became one of the busiest ports in America during that time. For example, by the late 1800s, they had started factories, began to be built, schools started being erected, and hotels started popping up here and there to accommodate all of the people there. And since the town was on the river, it had a big draw for restaurants to begin setting up, and beautiful homes, and thousands of people were living in this little town. Small town, a town that grew and grew, known as Rodney, Mississippi. Matter of fact, it only missed becoming the state capital of Mississippi by 3 votes in the legislature. That's how prominent this place was in Mississippi. But of course, Mississippi was beat out by the town of Jackson, which is now the capital of Mississippi. But something happened, though. Something that really nobody could foresee. The Mississippi River, over a number of years, began to change courses. And little by little, not suddenly, but over the course of years, the current of the river began to flow in a different direction. And by the early 1900s, Rodney, Mississippi was over 3 miles away from the river. And the town had been built through the river and its commerce from the boats that came down the Mississippi River bringing their products. And along this with it, the boats came the people and the industry. But when the river went in an opposite direction, it created a 3 mile distance between the city and the river. And then suddenly there was no access to the river, and the commerce and all of the wealth that it provided during that time, it began to dry up. And the town slowly began to wither and die. And if you search for it on the internet, it'll speak of being one of the most prominent cities that America ever had in its early history. But now has become known as a ghost town. That's what happened to Rodney, Mississippi. And as a matter of fact, if you go there now, there's only one road in and one road out. And all that's left of this once prosperous city is now an old, decaying Presbyterian church that's beginning to cave in on itself. There's no business activity there. There's only silent structures with crumbling echoes of what used to be there. It's a hollow shell of a town, and there's no inhabitants, there's no families, there's no children, there's no prosperity, no booming business, no hustling and bustling of people in the streets. All of that stuff left whenever the river left. And it's a silent testimony that screams a powerful message to both you and I today. And that is, no matter how many great things that you have going for you, if the river ever leaves you, you die. In John chapter 7, verse 37 and verse 38, reads, "Now on the last day, the day of the great feast, Jesus stood out crying and saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink.'" Verse 38, "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." The Holy Spirit is a life-giving river. The presence of Jesus is a river of life. And just like that little town in Mississippi, when it lost its river and when the river went a different course, it dried up, it withered up, its prosperity, it lost its life, and the people began to leave in groves and abandon everything. And the same is true for our life today. There's no difference between us, really, and that little city. If we don't have the flow, if we don't have that river that gives us life, if the Spirit isn't leading us, if the Spirit isn't directing us, and if we're not in the current, if the current that brings the blessings of God to us, all the successes that God has for us, all the victories that God will let us win, all of those come through the river. And if the river ever shifts, if the river ever leaves your life, then everything that you know and have can dry up and become joyless and lifeless. No matter what else you have going for you, if the river ever leaves us, everything else will die. My message this morning is a river runs through it. And that is because we have to have that river. A river that leads us, the river that constrains us, and the river that guides us. And if you've ever stood in a river, you'll know and find out that it has a current depending on the size of that river. And if many of you probably are familiar with the Illinois River here in Oklahoma that many of you enjoy. But even sometimes in the late spring, early summer, when we've had a lot of rain, it can have a really strong current. And they advise the the people that want to canoe on that. If you're on in a large river, you'll find that sometimes you just can't do what you want sometimes because that current of the river constrains you and pulls you to where it's going. The current pulls you, and that's how the river of the Spirit is. If you ever go in the direction that God's not wanting you to go in and go after things of the flesh, you'll know that you're saved and a child of God. Because you'll find that there's a restraining in the Spirit. That you're going against the current. Everything in you will say, don't do that. Stay away from that. And even if you do go ahead and decide to do it, something will always in you will always kind of pull you back. And you'll feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit within you and put you back on solid ground and in right standing with God and set you in the right direction. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank God. But if that conviction ever leaves you, if that constraining force that the Holy Spirit has that keeps you back from things that you know that aren't right in your life, that you shouldn't be doing, if you ever silence that, if you just ignore that, if you just write it off, then the river goes a different course, and then you'll die spiritually, just as that town did. You know, we still say to people all the time whenever they have loved ones at funerals, then and we say to them, you know, that's not the real him or her that you see lying there before you. The real, they're not here. They're somewhere else. Well, the real me is the spirit me. And the real you is the spirit you. You and I have a spirit that lives inside of our bodies. I'm not a fleshly body that just happens to have a spirit inside of it. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it reads, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Meaning this, is that I want to be a person who is seeking after the Spirit. I don't want to be after the flesh. I don't want to be moving in the direction of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life even. But we need to be a people who are after the Spirit. I want to be a preacher who's after the Spirit. Pastor Adam wants to be a preacher, a pastor that's after the Spirit. That follows where the current is, where the flow is, and where the Spirit takes us. We need to be like Moses, who was so spiritually governed in his life that he had the mindset of, I want my words, I want my attitudes, I want my actions to be after you, Lord. So much so that in Exodus chapter 33:15, Moses said, if your presence isn't here with us, then do not lead us up from here. Exodus 33:15, Moses is saying, God, if your spirit's not going to go with me, then I don't want to leave here. I don't want to go somewhere else. We'll go when you're ready. Because a burning bush without God is just a brush fire. In other words, where the direction of the Spirit is, not the flesh, not the carnality, not the I want to's, I want to get in the flow of the Spirit that restrains me in the right direction. Even if I start to say something that I shouldn't have, the current will pull on my soul. The current of the Spirit means to be in the flow. And we don't want to lose that in our lives. To not do what the Spirit can't bless, or not to deliver us from the fleshly things that we go after. Look with me, if you have your Bibles, in Romans chapter 8. I'd like you to open them up. Sometimes you just need to see it on the page. I mean, I know we have iPhones and tablets nowadays to look up Scripture, and that's great. But sometimes we just need to see it in our own Bible, where it's located at on the page for reference. And in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 12, it says, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Verse 14, listen to this. "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." One translation reads that proof of sonship is being led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Proof of you that you're being a son or a daughter of God is that you allow the Spirit, the current and the flow, to guide you and lead you and not your flesh. So our actions and our attitudes and our words and our desires, all of those things are in the river, and the Spirit leads you and in a direction where He wants you to go. Proof of sonship is being led by the Spirit, not the flesh. Come to the river because He wants to flow through you, satisfying that deepest thirst inside of you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what people think of you. John chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus said to the woman at the well in Samaria, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Now, this woman was an outcast from society, looked down upon, married multiple times, which made her even more looked down upon. Yet Jesus didn't reject her. He didn't get up from the well and leave whenever she came up. Instead, He offered her water, the river of life. In Galatians 3:3 reads it like this: "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and now you're wanting to perfect yourself in the flesh?" In other words, Paul's saying that there was a time that you were in the river. There was a time that you were in the flow. And there was a time that the Spirit could adjust you and turn you and change you and move you in the direction where God wanted you to go. And you were in His Spirit, and you started in His love. And you were tender to His voice. And you were sensitive to His desires and His convictions. But He said, having begun in the Spirit, you're now trying to be made perfect in the flesh. You know, a lot of us began things in the Spirit. When you truly surrendered your heart to Jesus in the Spirit, I'm not talking about walking down the aisle and praying some prayer, mumbling some religious words to sound like Jesus is in your heart, but when you truly walk and asked Him to receive Him in the Spirit, or maybe you began to walk in your Christian life and had a greater awareness of who Christ was and decided to walk in the Spirit then and seek His counsel. You opened up your Bible in the Spirit. You would pray in the Spirit, and you would call on God in the Spirit. And Galatians chapter 3 verse 3 says, "Remember your days on the early river, when you were leaning on God and when you needed the Spirit for guidance, for anointing, because we all need it." The anointing isn't just for preachers. It's for you. And if the river ever leaves you, your prosperity dies. If the river ever leaves you, your life, your home, your family, they just begin to wither up. And the houses, they become empty houses, and you live in a shell. And you have an outward appearance of a home, but there's really no life there. And the same goes true for a marriage. Don't let the river leave you. We must be led by the Spirit and not the flesh. Let's go back to reading the Word and in prayer, and go back to being led by the Holy Spirit through our convictions and through the consecrated lives He gives and desires for us to live. To go back to the river and to listen to the river. And if the river's pulling you in one direction and your flesh wants to go somewhere else, then go with the river, because the river is taking you to life, but the flesh is taking you to death. Someone may ask, well, if Rodney, Mississippi was that prominent of a town, what can make a river change its location like that? How can that happen to a city of Rodney, Mississippi, that was one of the most prominent cities in America during that time? Well, this is what the civil engineers kind of study this phenomenon have come up with and have kind of found out about it. They say it's usually caused by a buildup of debris. Over time, so much silt, so much debris, and so much things began to fill in, and they began to obstruct the river flow. A little pile here, a little obstruction there, a little silt here, some debris over here. And sometimes it gets so thick, sometimes you'd have to go out and bust it up manually. And that was obstructing the river flow. In order for the river to go around it, it needs to have a continual flow. But at some point, the river decides that it's easier for it to go into a different direction than to continually come up against that debris and be hindered. Because one little pile becomes another little pile, and another and another and another. Before you know it, the river is being forced away. And now it's not just a few feet anymore going around that obstruction. Now it's 50 to 100 yards, and then 1 mile, and then 2 miles, and eventually 3 miles. And that's a description of so many good people. People who started in the Spirit, who was led by the Spirit into the Word, and little by little, the river begins changing course, and you begin to slowly die inside. You see, because there's nothing that can take the place of Jesus in your life. When the river moves, it leaves an empty spot there. An empty feeling that was occupied by His joy and by His love and by His fellowship that He had. And no matter how prosperous you become, or how many houses you own, how many cars you drive, how many boats you float, you better never lose the river. Because if the river ever leaves you, then you begin to die. The more silt and the more gravel and the more things pile up over time and blocks the river, until finally one day you'll see that the current changes. And it began to flow somewhere else where it wasn't resistant anymore. And the water no longer flowed into that city of Rodney, Mississippi, because the debris had closed it off. The river has to flow, and the river has to flow freely. If you go to Rodney, Mississippi today, you'll find water there, but it's stale and stagnant water. And if you take a blade of grass or a clump of grass and throw it out there on the water, what you see is it remains on top of the water without moving. It doesn't flow. It's stagnant. There's no life. In other words, if you looked on the outside, the city looks like it has a water supply there. And that describes so many believers today. On the outside, they look like they have life. But is there a flow there? Are you being led by the Spirit? Do you feel His restraining power in your life? Are you aware that the Spirit convicts your heart? And are you following the consecrations that He calls you to in the higher life? I still believe that when the Spirit controls our lives, that He takes us in a direction. And if we don't allow that river to wash away that debris, wash away the pains, wash away the hurts, wash away the bitterness, wash away the unforgiveness, wash away the evil speaking, wash away those bad attitudes and ugly spirits. Those things begin to dam up the river and can cause it to go in a different course. And then suddenly, you wake up one day just like Samson did and wish that the Spirit had never departed you. Your life, your success, everything that you need is connected. And as John 7:38 states in our scripture, from your innermost being will flow rivers of life. The river washes everything clean. Clean things that try to destroy our lives and our families. I heard a preacher once say that the Bible said that Samuel, when he spoke the word, not one of his words fell to the ground. And I thought to myself, what does that mean? Never heard that one before. And I found out later what he meant, that Samuel didn't speak any dirty words. Now, we think of dirty words being cuss words, like blankety blank this or things like that. But dirty words can be cruel words. They can be hateful words. They can be gossipy words to humiliate somebody or to cut somebody down or to give someone just a piece of my mind. That's the importance of the river flow. To let it wash it downstream and to keep you clean. Because if you don't let it flow, if you don't let it wash away, sometimes it'll become who you are. These things matter. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. The Spirit can wash away that debris. The Spirit can wash away the silt. The Spirit can wash away all those piles and things that hinder its flow if we don't allow it to build up. And we need that in our lives. We need it to flush our lives sometimes, to remove the resistance that we have, remove the debris that we have, and become led by the Spirit. Because sometimes debris can cause you some harm if it's not dealt with properly. You know, speaking of flushing and debris in our lives, there's things sometimes that we don't need in our life. And fortune has a way of showing us. I read a story about Mr. Johnson who purchased a 750cc Honda motorcycle, and he brought it home and he rode it around the block once, and it began to start raining. And not wanting to get his motorcycle wet, he decided that he needed to take it inside the house, like most men do with their new toys. And what he did is he started putting several large boards over the front steps of his ramp, to form a ramp over his front steps. And he started the motorcycle up, drove it up the ramp, but being unfamiliar since it was a new motorcycle, he didn't know how much power it had. And he lost control on the porch, and he ended up driving and crashing through the front door and right into his television set. And he sustained a fractured collarbone, and the living room was covered everywhere with gasoline and oil from the motorcycle and the crash, and the ambulance took him to the local hospital. And while he was there in the hospital, his wife and daughter started to have to clean up the debris, the leftover stuff that was behind. They started soaking up the gasoline with the towels all over the carpet, and then he'd go in the bathroom and wring it out in the toilet. And several hours later, Mr. Johnson returned home, full casted from the neck to the waist. And so eventually he had to go to the bathroom, where he lit a cigarette and tossed the match into the toilet. And needless to say, the ambulance was called again. And as they were carrying the battered and burned Mr. Johnson out of the house, one of the medics asked the wife what happened. And upon hearing the story, both medics started breaking out laughing. And since it was raining, they ended up slipping on the porch and dropped Mr. Johnson again from the gurney and breaking his arm. Needless to say, the motorcycle was sold the next day. He didn't need that in his life. And sometimes you have to make smart choices according to the direction where life takes you. And when that river in Rodney, Mississippi began to go in another direction, those people had to make a choice. And that is, we can stay here and die, or we can go with the river and live. And what that means to some is you can't always just end up living in the past sometimes. Those past experiences that you had with God, they're great, they'll serve as sweet memories, but if the Spirit moves, then you need to move on as well with what He comes down and brings you. If the river ever changes course, if it changes direction, then go with the river, or else you'll wither up and dry up. And that's why today the church is so important. Church can't be just something that we'll go to if we ever get around to it, or if there's nothing else to do, or if there's no fun things going on this weekend, I guess we'll go to church. Your church, the kingdom of God, is a city by the river that brings life to your relationships. It brings life to your children. It brings life to your families and to your wife or your husband. And that's why we all desperately need the river. For our innermost being will flow rivers of life. We just, you know, sometimes we just need to have a Holy Spirit gully washer around here. And y'all know what a gully washer is, especially last Friday for many of you. We had the rainstorm so strong coming down the pike there. I mean, the streams begin to overflow and washes away from all debris and any silt, and all the leaves and the culverts that were clogging that up seems to begin washed down through the ditch. And in the same way in our spiritual lives, when you get into the river, it can wash away anything in our hearts that isn't pleasing to God. Any attitudes, any actions we may have, or toward anyone, or any dirty words, or any cruel words, things of that nature. If you get in the river, it'll take you in the right direction. Because direction is always more important than location, where you're at. And if you're moving in the right direction, you're going to get there. You're going to get there eventually. And we need to stop letting those things that have a foothold in our lives that will clog the river. Maybe you need to get out there physically and just bust some of that up, or even mentally remove some debris of bitterness or resent, because the way the river changes is if you don't knock it down, if you don't loosen it up, it'll keep piling up and piling up more and more, to where eventually the Spirit says in your heart, look, if you're not going to change, then I need to find someone who'll do the will of a Father. You just got to let that river hit it and wash it down. And so this morning as we close, I'd like for all of you to stand, for those of you who are able, to your feet. And as your eyes are closed, I'd like you to picture a gully washer just coming down with their eyes closed. Just picture a gully washer, a big giant river coming down. And I want you to see it cascading into a flash flood. And it's coming to our soul. It's coming to our heart. It's coming to our mind. And it's coming to wash our eyes and to wash our ears and our thoughts and our heart and our soul. And it's coming to wash away bitterness and pain and hurt from yesterday's, and to just to wash it all away. And as the Spirit flows, just open up your heart and your mind and let it flow free from the things that have just kind of clogged your spirit. Just let it go. Let it go and receive the healing properties of the river. Let it come over you and let it refresh you. Let it invigorate you and cry out to Him, I need you, Lord. I want to get in the current. I want to feel your force and the constraint against my life. That's where a river runs through it. And that's where the victory is. Psalms chapter 1 verse 3 reads, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. Church family, a river runs through it, and the river is here for you to plant yourself firmly and enjoy the fruit. And so this morning, if you'd like prayer for anything in your life, or if you would like to pray for someone on your heart, this morning as our prayer counselors come forward, they'd be happy to pray with you, to give you encouragement, whatever needs in your heart and in your life. And so as the Spirit leads you, and as we sing in closing, today you come. Thank you for coming this morning to worship with us, to sing praises to Him, to have the Word spoken over you. Pray that you have a good week this week. If you're a visitor, I'd love to visit with you over here after the service. Please let us join in closing. Father, we just praise you and we thank your holy name for all who you are and all that you give us, your life-sustaining flow, the river. Let it never leave us, Father. Let us be free and open to your Spirit, to guide us, to hold us, to constrain us, to keep us safe in your loving arms. Father, give us the power we need. Keep us from drowning in the river. Let us enjoy its healing properties that refresh us, Father. We pray this week over all here today that you would keep us safe and that you would let us to be a light unto you and to invite others to the river for refreshment, for cleansing, for healing. And we ask these things in your name, Jesus. And the church said, amen. God bless you all. Have a good week.